Movie-wise. Not your boring life, but what have you been up to?
What have I been up to movie-wise? Okay, welcome to the Futile Podcast, blah, blah, blah. GraniteSeed.com/FutilePodcast, FutilePodcast@gmail.com. Let's see, I watched, oh golly, well I was on a long trip doing a tech scout for a movie and we ended up with car trouble stuck at my buddy's aunt's place. And she is like a teacher, like NPR listener type, so she rented a bunch of movies from a free Netflix thing that her mom gave her or whatever. Mm-hmm. And one of them was this movie called, that the NPR people apparently said was great, called Wendy and Lucy with Michelle Williams. But it's basically like an hour and 15 minutes, this lady, like this hipster chick, loses her dog because she steals dog food even though she has $500. She's trying to go to Alaska to work at like a fish canning place. You're
talking about that one with Michelle Williams.
That's what I said. It Michelle
the
Williams.
First thing
yeah.
That he said. I wasn't listening. Now, they're saying it's going to be Oscar nominated probably for screenplay.
Why?
Everyone loved it.
Really? This is just going over my head then, because this movie is not that great. It's really very poorly constructed. I don't know why people loved it. Because it's just the pretentious indie hit. It's like, it was a movie about nothing, where nothing needed to happen. It didn't need to be entertaining. Why does every movie need to be entertaining? This lady walks around with her dog and hums, and
they,
that's
they
the soundtrack.
They took a break from entertaining.
And then she ties her dog up and goes into a grocery store. Even though they showed her count out, she has more money in her bank account than I have in my savings. She has more money, like, she has $525, and she's in Oregon or something, and she's trying to get to Alaska.
She can't get there.
And she can get there just fine. Her car has a problem.
Was there whimsy in this movie?
No, there was nothing.
No whimsy.
There was no whimsy. It was all
no Lord Peter whimsy.
It was all like just drab. It was 100% drab.
You know what a superior movie about losing a dog is? Lost and Found with David Spade. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I would imagine
that's
that.
A real gem.
I would imagine so.
I recommend it if you've never seen.
Oh, absolutely. And so it's just the motivations don't make any sense. Nothing happens for the character. In the end, she just like decides to leave, let the dog stay with somebody else who got it out of the shelter when she got pulled, taken in by the cops for needlessly shoplifting dog food, because I don't know why. Maybe the character has like a, maybe she's a klepto. They never really get into it. You don't learn anything about the characters. You don't get anything out of this. And then she jumps on a train, and that's the end of the movie. At least it's thankfully
short.
Does
she get her dog?
No, she hunts around for her dog after she gets out because she can't find it.
Is there nudity?
No. Then she finds the dog and she thinks, oh, well, that guy looks like a nice guy. She waits for the guy to leave and goes and visits the dog. That guy looks like such a nice guy and realizes, you know, I really guess I can't take care of this dog. And then she goes and jumps in a train and leaves.
So it was
it's terrible.
It's a coming-of-age story.
No. There's no development. There's
about a young girl's journey from Milan.
It's not funny.
But is it a comedy?
It's not even very all that well, you know, because you don't care. There's no drama. There's no explanation for why the character does anything that she does, other than that I guess she loves her dog, but then at the end, it doesn't really matter anyway. I'm sorry, but it's not that good a movie, and if everyone in the world is thinking Oscar time for this, then they've all got their heads way too far up their hipster asses at this point. I'm sorry. Guys, both afraid that season 5 of Always Sunny is going to be terrible because everybody on the fucking world
right.
loves it now.
I don't know.
It's all hip now.
I think it'll remain as solid as it's always.
I hope
been.
So. I was a little iffy on season 4. Had some
Wait,
good
it comes
good
out
bits.
With September.
Yeah, season four
was still great.
Yeah, it was
season
still great.
3 was better than season had, 4 though.
Season 4 had
I don't remember season 4 parts. Enough to like compare it to season 3 because I've
season
seen season 3,
had,
3 like,
had
a lot
more episodes, but season 4. I mean, season 4 had a couple good bits, but it, I don't know. I just don't know.
Season 4 is the one that had when they went to work at the office, right?
Yeah,
yeah that
was good.
Hilarious.
And Charlie, yeah, that was
and
fantastic.
And it had the musical.
It had the musical, and it had...
the one where he was the wild card.
Right, and it had the thing...
The one where they, like, go back
and the
to,
thing
like,
where they go back
yeah.
in time, and the guy's head gets blown off uh-huh. over the place. And...
No, there was some good stuff, but...
I like season
they,
4.
They, man. What, they got, like, 5 more seasons they signed?
Something ridiculous.
Like, 5
yeah.
more seasons?
I mean, they don't get that much money per season, so I'm sure this is just paying the bills for them while they're...
I'm sure they're getting something.
Dennis has been showing up in movies here and there.
Yeah, so. Dennis was on Spike Ferrison's show, talk show on Saturday, talking about, I guess talking about the show, and then he actually, they brought up the pilot they're writing for the sci-fi comedy, right. Which sounds kind of, could be kind
yeah,
of
yeah, I saw,
it's like an office comedy.
Rob, whatever, McElhenney?
Yeah.
I saw him talking about that, like, at some college thing.
He that
was,
would
like,
be
speaking
cool.
At. He said, like, Larry Charles is going to do it or something. Because, yeah. Like, they are, like, too busy with It's Always Sunny to...
Right.
Fully.
Well, whatever happens, I hope it stays funny. I just, once things start getting too popular amongst the,
you hope it stays gold?
The touchables, me and my unaccepted brethren start thinking, oh boy, they're gonna start,
here it goes,
yeah, here we go again,
they're gonna fuck it up,
they're gonna start trying to, they're gonna throw Green Man into everything, and throw Night Man into everything, because
right.
That's the big go-to things, and sure, I enjoyed the musical, but don't go back to the same well too many
right.
times.
You gotta move on. You gotta make bigger and better things.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Hopefully they do.
Oh, I
that would
I'm,
be
I'm,
awful
I'm,
if they didn't.
I'm optimistic. As
if
you
they ruined it, I would be very disappointed.
It wouldn't ruin the formerly funny episodes
True.
From the past, but it does kind of sour.
It would tarnish
it.
It
does. I just tried to rewatch most of X3, X-Men United. Because
I saw that was on TV.
It was on FX. Yeah, I told Seth to tell you. Because it's one of those movies where I saw it the first time and didn't really like it. And I'm like, I always want to give a movie like that sort of a second chance, like a perfunctory second chance,
right.
Like to see, well, maybe there's something I'm missing here. Maybe
I don't think there is
no.
In that case. I don't think there is anything.
Maybe they do explain Cyclops dying a little better than just kind of writing. No, not really.
It's got Ellen Page in it. That's all right.
I guess. I mean, I kind of don't really care. I mean, there's just like... the development of it. It's a very rushed film in terms of the storyline that it tries to do. It's like all of a sudden they end up at the end having to five of them kind of the hodgepodge.
And the Juggernaut. Bitch.
not powered by the magical crystal, but rather
my power comes through magic.
That was a good cartoon. You got all you need there. You got your Gambits and your Cyclopses. Everybody's blowing shit up. Gambit's awesome, man.
The hot cards.
Just because, yeah, he's got hot cards. You can't go wrong there.
No, you definitely can't.
I hate the guy. I hate him with a passion, a fiery passion reserved usually for Jubilee.
Ooh.
I don't like Jubilee much either.
I don't know if we want to hear about that right now.
I didn't like X-Men 3. I liked X2.
X2 was good. I didn't, yeah.
X2 was pretty good. And did they mention what happened in Nightcrawler all in X3? Like,
no,
they
gave, I don't
like,
think
a
they
passing.
Gave
they don't even give him lip service.
It's
someone's
just,
like, Nightcrawler. They're like, Nightcrawler, who's that? What's that? Who's that? What?
Nightcrawler, I'm not going
to
fishing. What the fuck are you talking about?
I was trying to think of the first... Because at the end of X-Men 3, you got Wolverine and Storm, and then you got all these new people that they kind of vaguely introduced in the second one, like Iceman and Colossus. And then... Kitty Pryde isn't even in it till the third one. I don't think she's in it in the second one.
She appears. She's played by a different character, but she appears. And she goes through a few walls when the people first break into
that's
the
right.
place. She drops through the floor and then she goes through a few walls and grabs somebody. That's right. Yeah.
But I was trying to think from the first one how many actual X-Men characters that they had. It seemed like they had more. They had Storm and Jean and I guess that when you add Cyclops and Jean to it, who are not involved in the third one,
right.
Because Jean's a bad guy and Cyclops is dead, then you've got Storm and Wolverine left.
Who's the douchebag with the wings?
Oh,
Angel?
The Angel, yeah.
Yeah, terrible.
Ben Foster.
I don't hate the character so much as that, like, the
only actor. The only thing I've ever seen him
I hate his
he was
face.
Remotely, I hate Ben Foster so much, but I had a episode of My Name Is Earl on the background the other day while I was doing something. And I looked over and Earl was being threatened by someone in the prison yard. And I looked over, it was Ben Foster acting really crazy. And I was like, oh, that's good.
No, I mean, yeah.
Awesome, yeah.
That works, I guess, for Ben Foster.
It I hear that Jason Lee's going to be in the new the new Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Surprising.
A couple of dicks, yeah, he'll pop in.
Yeah, so you just recently saw T2, otherwise known as Transformers 2, Revenge of the Fallen, where the Fallen from the comic book shows up. Just in time after Megatron gets put back together. And Soundwave is a satellite dish, right? Floating around in space.
Yeah. Well,
that's probably
one of,
the
one
best
of his
movie
forms.
I've ever seen.
It's one of his forms.
And Starscream shows up after... Yeah. It takes 2 years for Starscream to decide to get his act together.
No, they've been gathering dudes the whole time. Mm-hmm. In fact, it starts out with them... putting the beat on a couple of Decepticons in
Laying
Hong
the
Kong?
Smackdown?
Somewhere by Beijing, somewhere in China.
What are you talking about?
In the very beginning.
Because they form the elite unit, right? It's humans and Autobots together.
Yeah, it's called Nest. Yeah, called Nest.
Are you talking about the new movie?
Yeah.
That happened?
In the beginning, in the very beginning. Remember the thing with the gigantic wheel?
Like, I was high enough in the beginning when we went in to see it that... I enjoyed the first part, but I don't remember it. I only remember everything after when it was...
From the review
I mean, it was all awful, but...
Here's the funny thing. I looked over at Ryan a few times, and, like, the screen's up there, right? And I was watching his eyes, and he's going like this.
He's just letting his head fall down.
And I was like, hey, Ryan. He's like, huh? Oh,
Oh, yeah, the movie.
Falling asleep.
No, he wasn't falling asleep.
No,
he
tired.
Was wide awake.
I was just awake. I just had
completely lost his interest.
In the movie.
Oh, yeah.
In the beginning.
You saw it.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't.
I didn't need
to. So you didn't know. You don't know.
So I know enough.
Oh,
I know that it's basically an action sequence at the beginning, and then it turns into sort of like combination.
No, there's an action sequence.
There's a convoluted like military thing, and then like teen comedy where he goes up to college.
There's a big thing.
The only good parts of the movie, for me at least, was just the Shia moments that where he does his, you know, the Shia thing that he does. That Shia scream, you know, he does that, and he has that way of delivering his lines.
He had some funny stuff.
Oh, Shia. And then, like, it was weird, though, because, like, you know how he fucked up his hand. They kind of just, like, threw that in there. Like, they didn't explain that really at all. It just kind of, like, showed his hand fucked up, and he was like, And then it was just, like, wrapped for the... Like
he goes through one
of
those space bridge things, and
he went through a Stargate, basically.
Basically,
and...
yeah.
Oh, the transporters that they have—they actually bring those in.
The Fallen can use them, and then Jetfire's in it.
Oh,
For a brief part in the second half, and he's one of the better characters for sure. But
which one is that?
The
is that the geezer?
The Scottish,
the old geezer guy that they go to the museum.
Beard, yeah.
to the metal beard. Stupidest
anyway,
shit I've ever seen.
It wasn't that stupid.
No, it was just so bad.
It really was a case of it just
being
too much. There was just too much.
How much was it? $8.75
for
that?
$8.75.
Oh, I feel so horrible.
That's a weird number.
That's how much it costs for all non-matinee shows and coming attractions.
I thought it was $10 now.
No.
And plus, at the minor, you got those fucking
the minor.
Beams.
That was miserable at the minor.
You went to the minor?
They got beams coming
in. Midnight show. Because it was midnight, and I didn't want to go to Eureka, and they didn't want to come to McKinleyville. It wasn't playing McKinleyville anyway, so...
We made a compromise.
And the beams were there to...
Have you been in that, like, big theater?
The big one at the
market. They have, like, those things
cool.
there.
Yeah.
It's horrible. You, like, it
you
completely cuts off,
there,
like,
yeah.
part of the screen.
Yeah, it's problematic for sure. No, yeah, it's. I mean, they had RC in it, too, right? The girl Autobot, apparently.
Yeah, but they called them the RC... Yeah, it was RC, but it was one, you know, it's one entity with three of them.
Does they have the fast?
Is that the motorcycle?
Yeah,
like,
that, and they can project a girl in them, so it looks like there's someone driving them. And they're all. I read they cut a lot of that stuff. It would have been even longer. It would have been like 3.5 hours long if they'd kept all the storylines. Apparently, there was going to be something about some romantic involvement with her and. What's the dude in the big truck? The dude who's the big truck, not Optimus, but the one who's like the big.
Oh,
Rawhide, Roughneck.
No,
retard.
There's from the motion picture. Of the Robert
Gung
Stack.
Ho.
There was Robert Stack. There was Robert Stack.
They should hire you to come up with names for new Transformers.
I'm just gonna give them GI Joe names and see how long it takes them to be like.
That's like my next thing. I wanna go see GI Joe and compare which one is more awful because they both look like they're on the same level.
No, GI Joe is the sort of thing that could have been so easy to do right, and they just are gonna do it wrong.
It looks exactly the same. Like, the action
scenes
and everything, it just looks the same exact thing.
But with Transformers, that almost fits the cartoon a little bit better than G.I. Joe.
They dumped so much money into Transformers 2, and they had the very best people in CGI working on it, that it is going
well,
to utterly...
Well, the CGI, it's like...
It was so much better than it was in the first
one.
I mean,
it
really was.
That only
CGI
goes
part.
So far.
Okay, but...
Especially
so
when
G.I.
you,
Joe
like, can't see what's going on the screen, because...
They cut back on that, though.
Like, everything is just, like, a chaotic mess. That's
like,
what it felt like.
It was only
like
that in one part in two. You were not in the right state of mind to be judging it.
I was high for, like, what, half an hour? Then there was 2 hours of movie
You only stay high for half an hour.
How long do you think you stay high for?
I don't get high.
If I was sitting there smoking weed the whole time, I would have been fine. I would have been like, this movie's fucking great. It's so stupid, I can enjoy it.
They should bring smoking back to
theaters. Ian, have you heard about the racist robots in this?
I've heard that there's ridiculous, like sexual like robot comedy that sounds really stupid. And then I guess I've heard something about, the racist robots.
Well, there is racism.
There's racism, yeah. And one of...
Like, blatant, like, yeah, obvious. Well,
the deal
racism.
Is that there's these two called the twins. Mm-hmm. And they're called, like, Skids and...
Mudflap Snake Eyes. Or something.
Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes. And,
What are their cars? They're, like, tiny,
Chevy. They start out as a
Aveo, what is it? It's the smallest Chevy car.
I don't think it was Chevy. I want to say they're all Chevys. GM cars. Every single car in there was a GM. Almost.
Like, isn't GM and Chevy the same shit?
So in a strange way, this is American.
No, GM
movie.
Is Chevy. Ford is like...
What's
Ford,
GMC?
Mercury.
That's GM.
Isn't that like the same... It's all part of the same group.
I guess you're right, yeah. It was all of that stuff.
It was like it was GM Chevy. Stuff, yeah. It was those two like new like tiny Chevy cars they have, and they were like neon... One of them was like neon green with these horrible graphics.
The point is, they were racist. And They pop into like stereotypes and they go, yo, what up, man? And they both talk that way. But the funny thing was this, and this is why a lot of people think it's racist. One of them is voiced by a black guy. One of them is voiced by Tom Kenny. And
SpongeBob.
Yes. And also, the thing that's sexual that you're talking about is there's this little remote-controlled thing called Wheelie.
Uh-huh.
This Decepticon, but he's this kind of trickster little guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's extremely attracted to Megan Fox. And at one part, he like humps her leg, but that's also voiced by Tom Kenny. He voices the two controversial robots.
That guy's on the
Tom Kenny
edge.
always in the middle of any controversy.
Now, how much of her did you have to endure in this movie?
Oh,
not enough.
Seriously, what do you mean endure?
Well, her acting maybe is subpar, but
it wasn't really subpar. Her voice is problematic. Like, she doesn't have a good voice for an actress. She kind of talks like this.
The whole thing, like.
She's
you know,
so
the whole,
hot.
Like, oh, are you going to tell me you love me?
Oh,
are you going to tell me you love me?
The human character subplot is, when's Shy going to tell this
Which one?
Incredibly beautiful, gorgeous woman that he would never in a million years have a real chance with in real life, which, incidentally, apparently they are now dating.
Seriously?
Honest. Yeah.
Who was she dating before?
Well, she's been married to
Brian Austin Green. Yeah.
I guess
how the fuck did that happen?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Well, it was because she was like three when they got married. it was an arranged marriage.
You beat me to the punch.
Anyway, he won't say he loves her for some reason. And she, of course, won't either. And it's like, no, you first. Like, you probably would have just stood up and walked out during certain parts.
It sounded like fucking stupid. Just like left. Yeah.
Did you hear? There was this girl sitting behind us, like a row.
The
back
one,
in the
like
middle.
To the right.
Yeah, in white with like glasses, big hoops.
I didn't see what she looked like.
So
you got a full. Like,
well, because the drunk girl came in
right and
like,
fell
I,
down.
I watched her and she went past that girl.
Are you talking about the one that fell down and they dragged her off to some room? They
put her into like the old projection room. Anyway, this girl was like every single time there was anything that popped. Like she knew more about Transformers than any other. Person I've ever I don't know her, but every single time one pops up, she's like, "Oh yay, it's this person, yay!" And then there's a part where Optimus gets like beat to hell, and I heard her going, "Oh!" I heard her, and then like for 10 minutes later, I heard her sniffling. She was crying.
I heard her crying multiple times. Even it wasn't even just the one time. She's crying like a couple times.
It was great.
Like sobbing.
Oh,
like
it was,
deep
it was
sobs. Like Optimus, you should have left the woods when you had the chance. Yeah, that was.
Anyway, I think it was. It's understandably it's stupid. Admittedly, it's stupid. It's really stupid. But it's still like the more as I was thinking the first half of it, I was like, ever since the first movie, it's bothered me so much. I've always tried to justify why these robots are alive. Who made these robots? What is the Allspark? Why does it give them, like...
It's the Holy Spirit.
They're robot bodies with souls. And what always bothered
me... beards. Don't forget the metal
And what
beard.
Always bothered me was... Can they only change into one thing? Because if so, that's retarded. Because why would they have to turn into a dump truck on their robot planet. It doesn't.
No, in the cartoon, when they're on Cybertron, they turn into like futuristic stuff.
Well, that's
and
the
they
thing.
Show
that's
it, they explain it in the cartoon. They scan the objects and they decide how to.
I watched the cartoon, but I never really listened when I was a kid. I didn't watch it that much. I saw it like, you know, I'd see it once every couple weeks. Mm-hmm.
I watched it all.
In the first movie, they never really touch on that, but in this one, they show.
Show Cybertron.
Yeah, they show Cybertron. They show the first one. Also. Yeah.
I don't remember that much. I guess that's cool.
You remember the flashbacks where it shows Megatron standing on top of a mountain throwing a spear and killing somebody in Cybertron? It's
maybe.
All burned and crisp.
Okay.
Anyway, like it shows that anytime they want to, they can go and get next to something and just change into that instead. So they kind of choose what they go to, but it also depends on what parts they have. Because they can take on other parts. Like, for instance, they bring Megatron back to life in this and in the beginning. And the group of them that go around him... there's this little doctor robot. It's like, it tells them, kill the littlest of your group. And as they're tearing him to pieces, they use his parts to, as part of the resuscitation, I guess. But anyway, it really was not, like, you know, you cut all the extra weight off of it, and it's a pretty impressive kind of, like, non-stop action popcorn type deal. The weirdest thing was, so the first act is really, you know, goes by pretty quick. And then most of the second act, it's actually mostly interesting. But then the part where they're gearing up for the massive, big, huge battle, that starts to get a little bit boring and drag. And then when the big, huge battle starts in the third act, that starts to get boring and drag because it's so much battle. Like, literally, the last probably 40 minutes of the movie is one nonstop, gigantic, explosion-filled, shoot people, blow people's heads up, smash houses. Like... non-stop.
But it sounds like you're giving it a good review because of the spectacle.
The spectacle is great,
but now you're saying that
what I'm saying is there's a
tedious
part where it just lags, like the length of it eventually it just kind of sags. Like,
now in a review
that's what the whole movie feels like.
They sort of, their biggest complaint in this review I read was that it kind of doesn't know what it's trying to be. It's got the military drama thing with the humans, and it's also got the teen comedy thing with the Shia going to college stuff. Does it waste a lot of time in the second act with that?
It
sounds
doesn't.
Like to you that it doesn't.
It doesn't. I mean, it wastes enough time on his thing. Like, the thing is, he's got, you know, any time it's wasted on Shia is because he does a lot of what's supposed to be funny but isn't him tweaking around and wigging out as these strange numbers are going through his head. And
he's like sitting in
things.
Class and he's like, yeah, that shit was retarded too. Like,
and there's some other model and it's like a love triangle, right?
Kind of. And that chick was hot, too. Yeah. Now, Michael Bay, man, he's got an eye for women he should not be having sex with.
But he does.
Yeah.
He does. That's why they're in his movie. He's like, all you gotta do is blow me. They're like, oh, perfect. This is my opportunity to be a celebrity.
Yeah.
And he's like, yes, it is. Nobody will ever see you again.
And then, you know, every time there is human stuff, and they add on more characters. Like, there's this extra guy...
No Bernie Mac this time, though.
No, there's this extra guy that they pop in to
they should have resurrected his corpse.
To the Shia Megan Fox trio. But then not only that, but then they go and bring back Turturro. And it's just like needless. It's just more like, it was like the humans.
I was waiting for, what's his name?
Guffman?
No, the black guy.
Anthony Anderson?
Anthony Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
I was waiting for him to pop up.
He could
show up
with Sisto and they could
and the blonde chick.
Get to the bottom of it. Get to the case.
Anyway, right. Yeah,
they didn't mention her at all.
I guess
she was
that blonde chick. She was hot.
She was a code cracker.
They mentioned something before the filming of the second one that she wanted too much money or something like that. Like her and Michael Bay was like, "Who are you? I made you. You were in Transformers. Why are you asking me for more money?" Anyway, like the human story is like it's this thing where like they're going from place to place to solve some dumb mystery. Kind of, it was almost like they were Scooby Doo. They were the mystery van or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mystery machine?
I don't know. You know.
You can know.
What was the budget for this movie?
$250
Jesus.
Cost $250
That made more
million.
Than that already.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's, you know.
That's what you call
that's
profit.
Just bound to happen, but still, that's a lot
of what's funny is that, I mean, they opened it concurrently worldwide, and worldwide it already made $370 million, I think, in the first 5 days. So it's going to be massively, like, this is going to be huge. It's going to end up being one of the top three or four grossing movies of all time.
It was only like, what was it? Like the 5 day gross. It was still under The Dark Knight, but it was only by like 2 million, wasn't it? Like in the US.
I thought it beat it by two.
I thought that it was under like
it
under
been,
it by
no,
two.
No, it was 170 something.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty
sure
it was.
It made 60 on Wednesday. The next day it only made like 30. It ended up making just under 90 on Wednesday and Thursday. And then the Friday to Sunday cum was 100 and something million. So yeah, it was like 200. Something like that. Yeah, it might have been like 2 million under The Dark Knight's.
Yeah, it was like, it was super close, but I think it was under just by like a little bit.
Well, that's too bad.
Which made me happy that at least...
They couldn't... I mean, it sounds like they really tried to put a lot of story in there, but they just didn't construct it properly or something.
The thing is that that's not necessary, and they should know that it's not necessary, because people aren't going to see that.
No, but they could put in like...
And it's not necessary to add more human characters,
too. They could put in a straightforward story that makes it fun to watch,
though. The story wasn't really a problem. I mean, I thought it pulled you well enough along from piece to piece and from set to set and, you know, the whole point of it... Basically, any single interaction with any human other than Shia LaBeouf was somebody saying some sort of joke. His mom was... His mom was there to give wacky lines, and his dad was like, oh, come here, you're crazy, you ate
the
a hot
whole,
brownie.
Yeah, the whole thing with the parents, it was just like one-liner after another. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It would just cut to them.
I mean,
his mom would say, stupid thing.
It's not unlike any other Michael Bay film, honestly. I mean, like... The Rock, there's 1,000 speaking characters in that. Each one just says a quick, like, punchy, oh yeah, blah, blah, and then it goes to the next
thing. Yeah, but that was entertaining, at least.
The Rock sounds too, man. The Rock is the same length as Transformers. It's almost the same length movie.
But, it keeps you pretty entertained.
I'd say I haven't seen the second Transformers, so I couldn't tell you, but I enjoyed The Rock. I can vouch for
that. It's a great action movie.
What I'm saying is people are down in this thing. They're expecting, like, it was supposed to be
I think they all wanted to hate it because most of the people on the internet.
I wanted to like it a lot because I like the first one.
Most of the people on the internet hated the first one. All the big Transformer anime nerds, whatever else.
Seen the first one, the more I dislike it. Second one, I was expecting garbage, and I think I was like,
well, that's probably why you liked it.
No, I didn't. I didn't like it. I really did find it mediocre, and when I left it, I was like, that was honestly a disappointment. But I could see what they meant it to be underneath all the extra weight.
But that doesn't mean that's what it was.
It's not that it was that. It's just that...
Just because you could see what it was supposed to be doesn't mean that they didn't.
Take out 20 minutes, take out you know, half an hour, and it's a good movie.
Yeah, but the point is that they didn't. So the movie that they put out
But
was
I don't
bullshit.
Think that means that you shouldn't see it. I think that you should see it
because of that reason. Well, you can't say not to see it because everybody's going to see it anyway. So it doesn't matter if you tell people not to see it. Just, you know, because they're going to see it.
If one person depended on me, which they very well would and should, I would say,
go see it. I would write a fucking 3,000-word letter why they shouldn't go see it. That movie was horrible. That's like one of the worst movies I've seen in like a while.
Which hot model he wants to get with.
There's very little of that.
Okay. That was my review. That's not... That's good that they take
it. If you want to describe the hot model thing for 2.5 hours, then that'd probably be more entertaining.
It probably would be. Oh, you want me to do it now?
Go ahead and do it.
Okay. So basically, it starts, there's this giant battle, and then Final Decepticon is...
Who's in the battle? Name the robots.
It's Wheeljack, and EMT
and Jackknife
and
Lojack
and Shipwreck and Chitara
Roadblock
and Chitara and Hammerhand
Junkyard Dog
the Iron Sheik is there.
Hammerhand
Jackal Man Mummut.
What the fuck are you saying?
He's naming all the Transformers characters.
These are like serious, like real.
No, this is he's naming all the characters from other shows that he would like to call Transformers.
And basically, Prime with the guy from Vegas on his shoulder, mm-hmm. the parrot, lays down the final blow on the final Decepticon, and they go, "Look, we're all done now." And like, yeah. "Wow, we're done." And so then it's like Prime has to figure out what to do now that he's past his prime,
right.
pun intended. And Shia's like, "Look, Bumblebee, I can't be responsible for dealing with you anymore." And he thinks that Josh from Vegas can take over and for Bumblebee. So he goes off to college to start his new life. And he's like, "Look, Megan Fox, you can't come to college because you don't have a high enough IQ. And so I'm going to go, and maybe our lives will go different ways. I'd like to try and have a long-distance thing, but I'm getting into this house, and there's going to be other people, there's going to be other opportunities. I want to be able to hook up with other girls." So he kind of tries to write it off, but he wants to stay with her, too, because he wants to stay true, because they got promise rings.
Okay.
And so then it just sort of turns into this whole thing where he's constantly being tempted, and at one point he gets drunk at this party because he's all pissed because he calls her on her cell. But somebody else gets it, and some dude, and he thinks she's cheating on him.
Right.
Even though he'd kind of, like, tried to put the kibosh on their relationship anyway.
Sure, sure.
But he was going to call and say, "Look, I know I was wrong. I really do love you. I'm the one. I'll say it." All that stuff. And then, so he does end up cheating on her, and it turns into this whole, like, sad thing, because she goes to surprise him that next day and catches him in bed with this other girl. Mm-hmm. And then there's hilarity ensuing, and, like, he uses, like a pillow to hide his junk, but it's not. It's like a stuffed animal. It's not even like a pillow.
What if it's a stuffed animal of junk?
Yeah, it is.
And he just covers himself with it.
And so then she cuts his hand off up a bunch, and mm-hmm. so he needs to have the bandaging.
Right.
And then the B plot is that John Turturro is trying to take apart Bumblebee to learn his secrets because he's become corrupted by the Allspark, and Megatron has now gained his has, like, become incarnate within John Turturro.
Okay.
So, well, wait, he's doing it to Optimus Prime. So Bumblebee manages to escape, and he's gunning it for the university. So what happens is they all end up back together right at the moment when, you know, the relationship's about to fall apart. So the two of them end up Bumblebee, and they have to put their little fighting about love, no time for love, Dr. Jones style, you know? They gotta drive off to go save Prime from John Turturro, Megatron.
Right.
John Tetron, as he's being called himself. And then they do, and then they realize that they love each other, and then they get married on Cybertron with a big Autobot wedding. And then at the end, there's a secret ending where they show Unicron start to eclipse Cybertron.
Mm-hmm. That's it?
And he goes, dun, dun, dun.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Was that the beginning of Jump Around? Dun, dun,
No, that's not it. Anyway, that was my unseen movie review for Transformers.
How many stars you give it?
That was pretty good.
I give it 5 stars.
Out of 5? Or out of like 100?
There was two giant kick-ass cybernetic airships in Cybertron.
Hell yeah.
And a cyber train.
Cybernetic airships are the best.